Well, greetings, church. It's an honor and privilege to be with you again in worship. Some of those of you that made it out last Friday in our communion and prayer, it was a great time in worship. And hopefully in your living rooms, wherever you're taking this in, let's just set aside this time for him. As Psalms 34 says, let's taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.
And minds, healing brokenness. I feel a generation breaking through despair. I hear a generation full of faith declare, and our song it will be out of the darkness. We will rise and sing. And he is Jesus, and all my hope is in him. He is freedom, and he is healing right now. And he is hope, joy, love, peace, and life. I have seen a light like the break of dawn, healing blind men's sight, letting lame men walk. I see a generation with resurrection life. We are a generation filled with the power of Christ, and our song it will be out of the darkness. We will rise and sing. Is faithful and he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom.
Paid the highest price.
He has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives, Lord, and proclaim our love for him.
Up your mighty name. You are worthy to these things. You paid it all to free us all. Oh Lord, we say you are faithful. Come on, let's sing this that part together. Come on.
And he is and all my hope is in you, is freedom, and he is healing right now, and he is hope and joy and love and peace and life. He's faithful. Is faithful, and he is glorious, and he is Jesus. Hope is in him, is freedom, is healing right now, is hope and joy and love and peace and life. Yeah, love.
You are awesome. You lift up your mighty name. Hi, it's good to see you. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Lord, I ask you to help me share the things that you've put on my heart. I recognize my own limitations. I recognize our limitations, but we need you. Oh, do we need you? Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Forgive us, Lord, this day our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. And give us wisdom and patience, Lord, during this season of quarantine and COVID. And Lord, help us to be united, even in the midst of our diversity, as to what should be done, when it should be done, and how it should be done. We need your help, and we know you're at work, both to will and to work for your good pleasure. I thank you for our church, for this, the people that identify with Saddleback Covenant Church. And for any of you who are watching that aren't part of our church, I want to welcome you today. I hope this will be a helpful message, and we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I want to begin in Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 3. It says, don't let kindness and truth leave you, which tells me that it can leave us. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Why do you do that? It's next verse, verse 4. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And this verse is one of my favorite in the Bible, but it gets worn out because we can memorize it, but we don't necessarily do it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't make your understanding the final say, is what he's saying. Certainly he wants us to use wisdom, but don't let it be your final say. And he says, in all your ways, whatever you're doing, business, education, teaching, homemaker, vacationing, traveling, meeting people for the first time, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll make your path straight. Verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Now, I love that, those verses, but what would be the opposite of trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not to your understanding? I'm going to go to verse Psalm 37, which begins, do not fret. Again, reminds me that if he says, do not fret, that there were a lot in Israel in those days that did fret. What does fret mean? It means don't be vexed, don't be unsettled, don't be semi-angry. I have found this parts of the COVID season to be filled with vexation. People that are normally not necessarily uptight get antsy. People are concerned about what's going next. We get on a certain schedule in our mind, and I understand that. I think all of us, God understands it. But listen to the rest of this verse. Don't fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord. There it is again. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He'll do it. He'll bring your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait. Did you hear that? Wait. Wait how? Wait patiently for Him. Don't fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Ill-humored is another word for fretting. Our laughter used to be like this. Ha, ha, ha. Now our laughter's like this. Ha, ha, ha. It's nothing's that funny anymore, is it? Even a good joke isn't that funny. We need to keep understand that the Lord is with us, and this peevish, ticky fretting that gets in us, we really don't change much by doing that. Trust means to put confidence in, to rely. Dwell means to abide, like you're dwelling in your home. Cultivate means to till the land, to labor, to linger. I mean, to inspire faithfulness. And to delight is to be greatly pleased and rejoice and take great pleasure. In Psalm 69, he says, I delight to do thy will, O God. And to commit means to pledge, to engage, like engagement. And to rest, here's something for rest. Rest means this, be still. Be still. Be still. Don't fret. Don't be unsettled. Don't be peevish. In the rest of that psalm, picking up in verse 23, he says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Interesting, he says, not if he falls. He says, when he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong. So it means that all of us are going to trip. In my life, I've been unemployed. I've been transferred, I've been demoted, I've been promoted, I've gotten raises, I've had salary cuts, I've had no money, and now I've got myself an IRA. I've lent money, I've borrowed money, I've had good bosses, I've had bad bosses, I've been a boss. Been through all the seasons. In the middle of some of those seasons, you can almost feel hurled headlong. But he never did. And as I look back, I delight in the goodness of the Lord, as I know so many of you do. Psalm 6:3 says this, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But thou, O Lord, how long? What do you mean, how long? Who is he to talk to God and say, how long? Psalm 13:1, How long, O Lord? Wilt thou forever forget me forever? Psalm 79:5. How long, O Lord? Wilt thou be angry forever? 89:46. How long, O Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? 90:13. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for thy servants. 94:3. How long shall the wicked, O Lord? How long shall the wicked exalt? Beloved, don't be surprised by the fiery deals that beset you, as if some strange thing was happening to you. 1 Peter 4:12. David is really dealing with God's poor timing. God apparently doesn't do time the way you and I do time. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. But he's praying. How long? He's yielding his spirit to understand that this abeyance, this time seems like it has no end. How long, O Lord, before you do this? Each of us respond to circumstances in different ways. There's a quote, on a calm sea, every man is a captain. But we've had some rough waters here. I made a comment that we're driven by technology, which can be a wonderful benefit, but we're still here 24 hours a day. Way before COVID, technology was taking over everything. I would go to the local high school, I'd be at the stoplight, and I'd watch the kids leave the high school. All of them have their heads down, staring at their machines. Every one of them. Like, I'm talking dozens and dozens and they're not even talking to each other. They're looking at this little box. And then I go to the airport, and people are sitting, and they want to get an open seat next to them in the waiting area, and everybody is on their box looking at this. Hardly anybody says, you look nice today, or where are you headed? It's just, it's almost like the box has become an emotional separate thing, separation for us. And by the way, technology, it doesn't give you more time. Please, all of you techies, there is still only 24 hours in a day. That has not changed since Genesis 1:1. 24 hours. The only thing you have done is help us to get more done in a day, which has added our stress levels. Because when I'm finished with my day and I have 300 emails that come in after working hours, there's something in me that wants to erase all those emails, so I'll be starting fresh. And then I wake up and 50 more have come. It never ends. Time is a constant. And for all our modern advances and the longevity of our life hasn't changed in 3,000 years. Psalm 90, verse 10, as for the days of our life, we get 70 years, or by due strength, 80 years. Now, I realize some people live to be 100 and some people don't make it to 70. But I would guess the mean age is about 78 for males. But you're not a statistic, so don't worry about that. Technology just has limitations. Marriage is still about sacrifice, love, and commitment. Child rearing is still about discipline, love, care, and example. I agree with you that technology can be a wonderful tool of conveyance. But the vital issues that we have in 2020 are the same. It has to do with eternal life. Even if styles and customs change and technology advances, the principles of God never change. The same principles that you and I are dealing with are the same principles the early church dealt with. Government's different. They'd never heard of America. They never heard of democracy, except maybe in Greece, but it was practiced in a different way. But God's principles are his truth, and they don't change. So what do we do with all this? And this is my message for today. I'm going to call it prayer is action. There are so many people I hear, okay, we could pray, but then we need to do something. According to Martin Luther, apparently when he was really busy, he used to add an extra hour or two of prayer. Prayer is an action. Prayer is not a stepchild of our creativity and productivity and pragmatism. Prayer is something that should undergird everything we are about, because essentially it is a communication with the Lord. And so he calls us in this busy lifestyle and these crazy times we're living in to go into the inner room, the place and posture of our heart where we can be alone with the Lord. The demands of the inner room is a place where it's just you and God. Just you and God. The inner room prepares us for external service. True confession, I'm sorry, I have to admit this. I couldn't give this message without putting some substantial time in the inner room. And I realized the door hadn't been shut. There's a lot of noise coming into my life. And I have to tell you, I was very much, everything in the world is the same, but he did something in me that really helped me and strengthened me. Elizabeth Elliot, whose husband was martyred in Latin America, Jim Elliot, she said this: what you are in private is what you will be in public. Closet prayer brings authenticity to our faith. Let's look at Jesus' words in Matthew 6, 5 and 8. And when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corner in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. It's all about an external faith to them. It's like, oh God. And some kind of histrionic, Jesus teaches them to pray later on, but I want you to understand it's just being genuine. Today, truly I say to you, they have the reward in full, but when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, don't use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for many words. Therefore, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. Prayer is essentially a conversation with God. It is a choice and a fundamental dynamic that builds our relationship with God. Your and my individual prayer is a private conversation. It's confidential. It's personal. It's you and him, you and the creator of the universe, one-on-one in a relational dynamic. He tells us don't be anxious for anything or don't fret, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. In Mark 1:35 and 6, it says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, he, meaning Jesus, arose and went out and departed to a lonely place or a secluded place and was praying there. Jesus' prayer life had intentionality. It was not about comfort or convenience, but with the Father, being with the Father was his priority. But then in verse 36, and Simon and his companions hunted for him, and they found him and said, everybody's looking for you. Lord, we appreciate that you're praying, but we got to go. There's more healings to be done. There's more services. You've got to get out and do all this. Jesus essentially told them, let's go somewhere else. And you can read the rest of Mark. But essentially, Jesus had his priorities right. He had a full schedule, was in constant demand. The redemption of your humanity was at stake. So he goes to a secluded place to pray. Your job's at stake. Your marriage is at stake. Your kids are at stake. Your friend's life is at stake. The healing's at stake. The country's at stake. The all kinds of friends and foe alike is at stake. What would happen if we withdraw to a secluded place and pray? Even the disciples, as they followed the Lord, they got really tired. In fact, they didn't even have time to eat. In Mark 6:31, and Jesus says, come away yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. Not even time to eat. Why place such a premium on prayer? So many of you have heard more sermons about prayer maybe than anything. It should tell us something that we constantly need to be provoked and challenged to be a person of prayer. Prayer is powerful. It's not just for intercessors or specialists. Prayer is sacrificial. It requires time to draw close to the Lord. Prayer leads to many great things. Salvation, restores the backslider, strengthens the saints, heals the sick, glorifies his name. During prayer, I believe he imparts wisdom and gives us a peace and leads us, but not into temptation. Listen to this. Think about this. Did Jesus call us to preach without ceasing, or to teach without ceasing, or to have committee meetings without ceasing, or to sing without ceasing? No. He called us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Did Jesus say, my house shall be called a house of study? Or a house of fellowship? Or a house of music? Or a house of exposition? Or a house of activities? Or a house of political activism? Or did he say, my house will be called a house of prayer? He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Matthew 18:20. Our attitude in prayer is to be humble and bold, sincere, loving, persistent, definite and fervent, and above all, honest. I have to confess, every time I pray, I say, Lord, I just da-da-da-da-da. Because sometimes, even when I pray, at first I feel a little bit phony because I haven't been all I could have been. I said, Lord, I feel like you've got to help. And he does. But we have to be honest. He's moved by a humble and a prayerful heart. A humble and a contrite heart I will not despise. When believing people pray, great things happen. In James, he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Effective, fervent prayer. The early church was a praying church. Prayer preceded Pentecost. He sent them back to Jerusalem, and they were in one accord in the upper room, and they were praying and postured in prayer when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2. Prayer moves us from the natural realm to the spiritual realm. True prayer will shield our hearts from bitterness. Look, circumstances don't always change. I get that. But we are changed in relation to our circumstances. Say that with me again. Let me say it again. Circumstances don't always change. But we are changed in relation to those circumstances. And very often, later, the circumstances change as well. But it's his timing. These are a few scriptures as I move towards closing. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my prayer for you all. Philippians 1, 3 and 4. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And in Timothy, Paul says, 2 Timothy, I constantly remember you in my prayers. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask for you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. In Colossians 4, he says, devote yourself to prayer. And as I said before, the church began in a prayer meeting. In 1 Timothy 2, 1, he says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. God harnesses himself to our prayers in the mystery of his sovereignty and free will. So I want to challenge myself, you, but five takeaways or five do's about prayer. The first one is get in the closet. Let's all get in the closet and shut the door and pray and just talk. You may not even be in a crisis. You don't have to have a great need. In fact, he likes it. I like it when my kids or grandkids talk to me and it's not that they're wanting anything. They just kind of like hanging out. It is in that place that eternal things change. Eternity is touched when we touch the eternal one in the closet. The second thing, challenge. This is for all husbands and wives to pray with your spouse and pray for your spouse. I am surprised how often I hear we don't ever pray together. And I say, if they tell me that, I said, why not? He said, it's just kind of awkward. It just doesn't. Okay, forget about awkward. Pray with your wife. You're one before Christ. Marriage is like Christ in the church. He's the head of your marriage. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shifting shadow. Take the time to pray with your spouse. Stop the hamster wheel. Say, let's pray. Whether it's an emergency prayer, whether it's at a meal, whether it's on a walk, whether it's just we need to pray for our kids, we need to pray for the pastor. I can use your prayers. Been a lot of warfare the last 6 months. Pray, third thing, pray with your children and for your children. If you don't do that, when they get to the youth meeting, they're going to be like a deer caught in the headlights. The poor youth leader is going to say, let's pray, and the kids look like they've never prayed in their life. If you're a Christian, you're raising your kid as a Christian, and some of you might even be sending to Christian school, be praying with them. What can we pray about? What can we do? And draw that in there well. So pray with them for them. The fourth thing, pray for one another and with one another whenever you have opportunity. We started last 4 weeks ago prayer again. So we've had prayer meetings for the last 4 weeks on Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. And I've not been big trying to get like 100 people at the prayer meeting. A prayer meeting is not about how many people. It's whether the people that want to be there and really want to pray together. And so that's open to anybody, but we meet at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays. But also just praying when you're together, when you hear about someone's challenge or whatever, that you're really, we're praying for one another and encouraging one another. And finally, in Galatians 6:18, he says, let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we don't grow weary. I am working hard. I trust you know that, and others are, to be men and women of prayer. And I believe this season will pass before we know it. But as we come down to the wire on this, I ask you not to fret, be critical or whatever, get all upset about anything, because we need to let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts. And I want to say to all of you, I felt like those of you that I've seen and talked to during the 6 months, you've been incredible. From the people that have been in our church for decades to people that are relatively new to children. I've gotten many letters from children. Not many, I've gotten a number from children. And I like those cards and letters. You can just say, hey, go for it, Pastor Kevin, or whatever you want to do. But that's where we are. So I'm going to close and love you guys. And since I'm talking on prayer, why don't we seal this? We opened it with prayer. Let's close it. Lord, I thank you for every member of our church. I thank you for the work of God in their lives. I thank you, Lord, of the miraculous salvation that you've done in all of us. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be effective in our prayer. The disciples struggled and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us to sing or teach us to heal or teach us to do this or that. He said, teach us to pray. And you did. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us, but not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you soon in person. Goodbye. Give life.
sing with me now.
Oh, and great are you, oh Lord. Oh, and great are you, Lord. Oh, so just, oh, and great, oh, and great are you, Lord. Are you, Lord? Oh, we sing. Sound for your greatness. You are merciful. Oh, oh, and great are you. Oh, and blessed is. We pour out our praise to you. Thanksgiving comes to you, Lord. Oh, gratitude, merciful God. How worthy to be praised, because you are a good God. You are perfect, O Lord.
Be blessed, everybody. See you soon.